Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235.
Sinners who call on thee.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, the 27th chapter, the first 10 verses. Matthew chapter 27, verses 1 through 10. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew chapter 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went, and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces, and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore, that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Riley Rosendahl, who has come home from the hospital again, and also Mr. and Mrs. Jan van Hugenbos, who received a well-born child in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, Thou who art in the heavens above, Thou who hast created us, and Thou who dost provide that everything may continue in this life, Thou who dost govern this world to bring all things to a certain determinate end that is decreed by Thee. We in this morning hour may be privileged to come into Thy house of prayer, to appear before Thee, who art so holy, who art so righteous and just, and before whom we cannot appear, except it be through Thine only begotten Son. Then in this morning hour, then we beseech of Thee that Thou may view us in and through Him who is Thy beloved, who has Thy love in His heart, and whom Thou didst love and dost love to all eternity. Thou canst not turn away that which He has accomplished. Thou hast shown in His resurrection from the dead that Thou didst receive what He did and what He has accomplished, and not for Himself, but for His own church. And Lord, Thou didst give testimony, and Thou didst give evidence that Thou didst receive it, that it was satisfactory to Thee. And it is the only foundation whereby we can attempt to approach to Thee in this morning hour. Outside of Him, then we can only be cast away. We are nothing but guilty and filthy and polluted in Thy holy sight. And Lord, every one of our sins, within and without, in thought, word, and deed, does testify against us in this morning. And we come even in ourselves as nothing but a whited sepulchre in Thy house of prayer, and with a form of religion, but with a world within our hearts. Lord, cast us not from Thy sight because of our hypocrisy and because of the evil that lies within us. But wilt Thou look upon us in and through Him who has satisfied Thy perfect justice, and who has paid the price for the sin of Thy church. May we also
be included in Him, that we may not stand for ourselves on that great day of days, but that in this very day that Thou may include us, oh, that we may be engrafted into that living vine, wherein only there is life. Oh, that Thou would draw us, Lord. Thou knowest that we are of the earth, earthy, and we are those that cleave to the world and to sin, and our hearts are nothing but a pit of corruption. Lord, Thou art the witness of it all. But oh, that Thou would renew us, give us a new life from the dead. Oh, that Thou may give, and that our hearts may begin to hunger and to thirst after Thee. We don't have it of ourselves. Lord, Thou knowest what our hearts do hunger and thirst after. It is after everything that is apart from Thee. It is after the world. It is after the entertainments. It is after our own honor and our own glory. But Lord, may Thou make it different in this morning hour. Oh, wilt Thou abase us? And wilt Thou take down our wretched and our sinful pride? And wilt Thou lay us low in the dust before Thee? Oh, may we be brought even as a lame Mephibosheth at Thy footstool, only expecting that we be cast away as an unworthy one who is a rebel against Thee. Oh, that we may be given eyes to see who we are in Thy holy sight, and that we may be given a heart that is full of desire, even as the prodigal, that we may return again into Thy blessed favor and communion. O Lord, to whom else can we go but unto Thee? In this morning hour, we have no power to give life to ourselves, and not for the first time or by renewal. We have no power to give life to one another. But O Thou who hast all power given unto Thee in heaven and in earth, O that Thou may show that power, that it may be experienced among us as a congregation in this morning hour. It would be so undeserved. But Lord, take Thou reasons out of Thyself, out of Thy own covenant, out of Thy own good pleasure, out of Thy own dear Son, and may Thou bestow upon us that which we can never give to ourselves. Oh, that life, that life from the dead that begins to yearn and that begins to long and that begins to desire, that begins to miss Thee, our Maker and our Creator. Lord, come Thou. Oh, come in our midst. Thou hast promised, Lord, that we would be as Thy mouth. Oh, may it be seen. May it be experienced today in Thy house of prayer, that we are but a little mouthpiece in the midst of this, the flock, amongst whom Thou hast placed us, that there may be fathers and mothers, that there may be grandfathers and grandmothers, that there may be children, O Lord, that there may be those who may have to smite this day upon their breast, that could no longer lift up their eyes to heaven, but that must confess, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, that we may go out of this place as a wretched and as an undone one, one who has sinned against such a good-doing God, one who cannot go on anymore. Oh, Lord, as a missing one, that may begin to long for Thee, one for whom Thy dear Son may one day become so precious and so necessary for us also. Oh, Thou hast given Thyself to do such a work as to leave Thy place of glory and to come into this sin-cursed place, in the place where we dwell with our children, in the stench of sin. Lord, may Thou give that also the Holy Spirit may be poured out in the last days, in the days that we live in with our children. Oh, does not the devil, the prince of darkness, go about as a roaring lion and as an angel of light to seek whom he may devour? Lord, wilt thou give us over to him? Oh, wilt thou give us into his hands? Oh, look on us in mercy. And we beseech thee in the name of thy dear Son, thou who hast bruised his head, and thou who hast taken away his power. Oh, may it be evident in our midst, and when there may be true conversions, a true robbing of hell, taking out of the midst of that awful and wretched darkness into thy marvelous light, to open unto man his sin, his wretched state and condition, and to make thyself the necessary one, the altogether lovely one. Oh, remember thy own bride. Remember thy own people. Lord, we live in the last times. Thou didst say, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, it is a little flock, but they are also of little faith. And thou knowest their names. Thou hast called them by their name. Oh, that thou would give, that in this day they may receive also a little crumb from the table of the Master. Oh, that they may receive a little food for that soul that thou hast made alive. Thou wilt never leave them. Oh, Lord, thou carest for the beasts of the field. Thou dost give them their food. Wilt thou not also give it to thy people? And when they languish, and when darkness so often prevails, Lord, wilt thou give that hunger to be revived again, or that they may be brought again in the secret places, and that cry, that yearning from that land of captivity may go forth to thee, that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thou may have regard unto thy people. Lord, they have turned their backs to thee also. Thou dost say that thou art their God, and that they should not serve the idols, that they may not bow down to them. Lord, they must say that all the idols of the world they are laying in their hearts. Lord, wilt thou turn them again? And wilt thou bring once again to know something of thy salvation? May it be by renewal. And oh, that thou would give the mouth of that dear people that is the apple of thine eye to be opened in the midst of us as a congregation. Lord, come thou in our midst. Oh, remember all those that are afflicted. Sin has brought so much misery in this world. All that thou would give, help from above in all the circumstances of sickness, of sorrow, and of affliction. Remember the child, the little child, who was in the hospital in the week gone by, and who has been brought home again. Lord, thou dost give a little strength again. Oh, may thou help him further. Wilt thou heal him in the body? Give also to those parents what they need in any decisions that need to be made from time to time, where it can be so difficult. Lord, wilt thou give them to cry to thee, and wilt thou help them to follow in thy way, and may thou be evidently their guide. Wilt thou be also with those parents that have received a well-born child? May it be a child that is born to be born again. Oh, may that be for that new birth, and that it may one day glorify and magnify thee. Oh, that it may not be only their child, but that it may be thy child. And Lord, look on all our children. The devil seeks them. Oh, show thyself the stronger one. And wilt thou give them to see all the vanity of the world and give them a desire for that one blessed portion. Lord, remember also that old mother and grandmother, which is in the nursing home at our sister congregation, and who hopes to commemorate her birthday in this week. Thou hast spared her for so many years, and thou knowest all her affliction. May thou be near to her. May thou bless her, Lord, and may thou give her a little token of thy favor and thy communion. And wilt thou look upon all those that are in that place, and all those that are afflicted, all that mourn, widows, widowers, and orphans. Be with all that have special needs in this life, and those that are oppressed and afflicted. Be with parents where there are difficulties in marriages. Lord, thou knowest all the circumstances. Oh, give a place by thee. Give, Lord, love for one another, that they may be brought to love thee above all, that children may also be given to love their parents, and that in the midst of our families, that the fear of thy name may evidently dwell. O Lord, wilt thou go with us then, be with all our children. Lord, remember them this day. Help us to speak simply, that it may be also for the little ones, that they may be given new hearts, even in the days of their youth. And oh, that that service of the Lord, that that may become so precious to them, that it may become so desirable, that they may leave and forsake all their former friends, that they may serve, that they might love thee, and also their parents. Lord, be with all of us. Be with us this day. Help us to speak. Help us to listen. Take away the buyers and the sellers, and all that Satan can bring in, even into thy own house of prayer. And oh, may thou be feelingly and believingly in the midst of us as one that doth serve. We ask it undeservedly in the name and for the sake of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 120, stanzas 1 through 4. Judge me, God of my salvation. Plead my cause, for thee I trust. Hear my earnest supplication. Save me from my foes unjust. We announce that the prayer day services this coming Wednesday, the Lord willing, are scheduled for at 10 o'clock in the morning and 7 o'clock in the evening, not at 2:30 in the afternoon, as is in the bulletin. Psalter number 120, stanzas 1 through 4. Thank you. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. They bound him, congregation, that is whom? Him that is free. Him that has no bounds. Him that is able to perform all his good pleasure. Him that is above every man, above every creature, free to do all that he wills. And we read, they bound him. Oh, that is what he gave himself to. That is what he agreed to come into this sin-cursed world to do, to be bound. And why? All that is to deliver from bonds. It is to deliver from bondage those who are bound, those who are not able to deliver themselves from their bondage. That is, from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of iniquity. Are there such in our midst that are bound? Paul says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. What was it? It was, he says, as if I am bound, a rule, a law that is in my members. And where is it going to bring us? Do you ever feel that? That bondage to sin that will bring us to an eternal destruction. And now for this purpose, he was bound, that he might set free those who are bound. Do you need him for this? Do you ever cry to him for this? Even as him who had to smite upon his breast and had to say, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We wish to consider something of this with you with the Lord's help in this morning hour. From the portion that we have read together in Matthew 27, and there are verses 3, 4, and 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. So far the words of our text. A serious warning from the case of Judas, first in his repentance. Second, in his rejectors. And third, in his awful end. A serious warning from the case of Judas. First, in his repentance. Second, in his rejectors. And third, in his awful end. When he saw that he was condemned. Who was it? Who saw that who was condemned? That was Judas, saw that the Lord Jesus was condemned. And when they had bound him and they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. He had not expected this. He thought the Lord Jesus was going to deliver himself. He thought the Lord Jesus was going to work some kind of a miracle. He had seen that boys and girls so many times in his life. that he has seen that the Lord Jesus was so powerful, and that with one word of his power, then he could do anything that he pleased. And that was the expectation of Judas. Then he thought, well, even though that he is sinning, well, the Lord Jesus can help himself. The Lord Jesus can deliver himself somehow. Then everything is going to turn out okay. It really isn't going to be that bad in the end. Is that also what our thought is, young people? When we desire to go to this place and do that in our life? When we want to go along with the entertainments of the world to the movies? When we want to go to the bar? When we want to do what our flesh desires? When we will try just a few, a little bit, the drugs, fornication, well, everyone is doing it. It's not going to be all that bad in the end. It's all going to turn out okay. That is what Judas thought. That is how Judas assured, comforted himself as he went on in the way of his sin. But he found out so differently. Then he saw that the end was different than he thought. And so it is going to be also with everyone that continues on in their sin. Judas was so convinced of the power, of the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we convinced of that too, congregation? Judas went lost. Thus, to be convinced of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, of that mediator, to know that, to feel that in our heart, that is no sure mark of grace. People say today that you must believe. Congregation, there is a great difference in faith. Judas believed. Judas believed in Christ. Judas believed the power of Christ, the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that there are those who will say in our days, well, you do completely wrong. You make the people to doubt. You make the people to sin. Is that so? No, we would not have you to doubt God. No, we would not have you to doubt the Word of God, the work of God. But we would have you well to question and to examine yourself, your own heart, and your own work. True faith will be tested in every one of God's children. And it will come forth as gold. Congregation, there are those who would never so much as even question themselves whether the work is in truth or not. No, I believe in Christ. And because we have some kind of faith and some kind of belief in Christ, then it is for us enough. But faith in itself is insufficient. The devils believe. The devils tremble because of their faith, because they truly believe something. And yet their faith, that is not sufficient for them. Judas here also believed. He was also under the dominion of that prince of darkness. Faith that is the hand by which the true church receives the salvation of the Lord. Faith is the hand. But you know, boys and girls, that with your hand you can receive many, many different things. Thus, what is being received by that faith? What is the object of that faith? There is a great difference. Then Judas, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. That is actually the second positive sign that we see in this man, in Judas. What is that? Repentance. A turning. There was a change of his mind. He wished he had never done it. Thus, also repentance is in itself insufficient. A change of mind that is not a sure work in itself of the truth of the work of God. Do you have remorse for things that you have done in your past life? Are you sorry for this, sorry for that? Do you wish, congregation, that there are things in your life that you could erase? Do you wish that you really had never done it? Is that necessary? Remorse? Oh, yes. The true work of God that does not go without remorse. And yet, remorse in itself also belongs to the reprobate. It is not sufficient for eternity. Don't make a foundation for your salvation out of your remorse. It is not enough. Nineveh also had remorse. Most people in this world have remorse, are sorry for certain things that they have done in their life. Then Judas, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver. That is the third positive sign that we see in that life of Judas. What is it? Well, his repentance brought forth some kind of a fruit. It was not just mere words in that life of Judas. No, he brings the silver in his hand. He is going to return this money to those from whom he has received it. Thus, there is a change also in his life. That was not easy for his flesh. Why was that not easy for his flesh? Because Judas was a covetous man. That was the sin which lay in the foreground in the life of this man. And he has to fight against that sin that he may give up that which his soul desired so much. And he brought it back unto the Pharisees. Was there also a change in our life? Is our life different from what it was before? Have we come from the bar into the church? Have we come from the world, from serving the world and all its entertainments, into a completely different life, a life of religion? Is that necessary? Yes. There is a change in our life, and then it will be evidently necessary, especially when we have in an outward way in our life walked according to the course of this world. Congregation, it is still not enough. The rich young ruler also had a change in his life. Half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have stolen anything from any man, I restore him fourfold. Then Judas, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver, saying, I have sinned. It is the fourth positive sign that we see in the life of Judas. What is that? That is confession of sin. Didn't hide it. He didn't cover it. He brought it out openly. Did you ever do so? When you have sinned, that you have also been brought to confess what your sin was, that you admitted your guilt, your sin, your evil, your transgression. That is not easy. Is it necessary? Yes. Yes, when that work is true, there will be also a confession of our sin. Even when we may come so far as to bring all our sin out into the open, it is not enough. There are many in hell who have confessed their sin on this earth, including Judas, who have not refrained from admitting that they were so wrong. Then Judas, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. That is now the fifth positive sign that we see in that life of Judas. What was it? He was convinced of the innocence and the purity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you think that the rulers and the scribes would have liked more? To have stood in confession against, to testify against the Lord Jesus Christ than Judas. Or could they only get Judas to testify now against his master, even as he has betrayed him? That is a man. He has been with the Lord Jesus now for 3 years. Oh, how powerful would be the testimony of this former disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be able to condemn him on the words of his own disciple. But it is the opposite. What does Judas do? Judas testifies of the complete innocence of Christ. And that is a very powerful proof of his innocence, even coming from the man who is in the midst of an awful betrayal.
And not only so, but that is a positive sign in the life of this Judas. He condemned himself. And he justified the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that he was the sinful one. And the Lord Jesus, he is the right one. He is the innocent one. That is what has come out of the mouth of this betrayer. And still, he went lost. Congregation, is that not a frightening thing? So many marks, so many positive marks. If the end of this man did not show that he was a castaway, what would we think of him? He would say, that is an humble man. That is a true child of the Lord. But not everyone's life ends as Judas. Not with everyone does it become so manifest and brought out into the open. Oh, how is it when we would be going over this world as a Judas with so many positive marks and in deception of ourselves and of others? There were some marks that this man had that were not even found in that thief on the cross who had no opportunity to bring forth all his stolen goods once again. And yet, this day, that thief sings to the glory and to the honor of God. And Judas is at this moment gnashing his teeth. We say, congregation, a serious warning. In the case of Judas, not only in his repentance, but also in his rejectors. What is that to us? See thou to that. Who says that? It is the chief priest, that is the scribes. We can hardly believe what their answer is. Here is the rulers of the Jews. Here are those people that are set over the Jews for their good, set over the Jews for their instruction, for their comfort, for their direction. And this is the answer that they give to a man who is in such an awful distress, who has come to them in confession of his guilt, come to them in confession of his misery, of his wretchedness. And they have for this wretched man not one word of instruction, not one word of comfort, not one word of encouragement. They say, be gone. What is that to us? You are nothing but a burden to us. You do nothing but bring our own sin and guilt to remembrance. Don't come to us with all your problems, with all your difficulties. That is, congregation, how the devil is working. Isn't that so, young people? First, he draws you. And he will make it look like it is desirable. And he will make it look like it is pleasant. And he will say that in the end, no, it is not going to be so bad. For whom has the devil no answer? For those who are wretched. For those who are miserable. Then he laughs. You know what he says? Soon you're going to be with me.
Read it in the Bible. King Saul came to the end of his life. And he was so miserable. And he went to his master, Witch of Endor, brought up his master from hell. And you can read it in the Bible when you go home. Young people, you read it. There, the devil, in the form of Samuel, he says to Saul, Tomorrow, you and your sons are going to be here with me. That is the work of the devil. To draw and then to leave you all alone. That is the work of the ambassadors of the devil who are using other people as instruments in this world, which we can see happening in our world every day for their crimes. And they have no concern over these instruments, but are leaving them abandoned to all their regret and to all their wretchedness and to all their poverty and to crime and to death. So the devil is dealing with his people. What is that to us? See thou to that, O Judas. Why don't you go back to Jesus now? O Judas, did you ever hear Jesus say such words? Did you ever hear him say, what is that to me? Did you ever hear him speak so to a man, to a woman, to a boy, to a girl who was in distress? Did you ever hear him say that to one who was in such deep need, Judas? Did you ever see him, Judas? You walked with him now 3 years. Did you ever see him turn away one that was miserable? Did you ever see him turn away one who was afflicted? Oh, Judas, you have chosen such hard masters. But did you not have such a better master before? And if you would now, Judas, go back to him, and if you would lay at his feet, even as Peter, and when you would weep before him, and when you would confess to him all that you had done, O Judas, would he not receive you? Judas, have you not heard when you were walking with him how that he has spoken of the prodigal, how that he has left his father, how that he has wasted his substance with all his living, Judas? Then when he only returned to his father, and his father had open hands, Judas, open hands to receive him again with joy into his bosom. Oh, Judas, why? Why don't you go back? But Judas does not. Is the great difference, congregation, between Judas and that thief that was on that cross. Out of the mouth of that thief, we also heard the tokens of repentance. We also heard his confession. We also heard that he has seen something of that innocence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there was something more. What was it? It was a supplication. Lord, remember me. Lord, have mercy upon me. There was only one place that thief could go, and that was unto that Savior, that was unto that Redeemer. And if he would not go unto that Redeemer, then it would be for him forever and forever lost. There was for him one hope and one expectation. And therefore he, as it were, cast himself at the feet of him against whom that he has sinned. And he says, if I perish, then I perish. But Judas, oh, we never hear this out of the mouth of Judas. His guilt, congregation, brought him where? His guilt brought him only to despair. He never cried for mercy. You have read the Pilgrim's Progress? There you see two men. They are in that slough of despond that happens to God's people. That happens also to the reprobate. Desponding, desponding. Can I ever enter in? It is impossible. And now the pliable, struggling to get out. In which direction? Away, away from the wicked gate. The further away from that gate, from that door, from that entrance, the better. But Pilgrim, in his despondency, in his hopelessness, then he is struggling toward that wicked gate. That is the great difference between these two men. Oh, Judas, there is but one hope. It's in him, Judas, whom you have seen bound, whom you have seen led away, whom you have seen brought unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. You caused him to come there. You have betrayed him. You have admitted it. Judas, oh, only now go back to him. Oh, that suffering that he is going through, Judas. One drop of that blood, one drop, is enough to purge away all your sin. But he will not. And therefore he will perish forever. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. The Pharisees would not take it back again. The congregation, it was impossible for Judas to hold on to this money. This money, that was money that was burning in the conscience of this man. Dishonest gain that will give us no rest and no peace in our life. Tries to relieve himself. He tries to throw it away from him. Oh, the further he can get from that money now, the better. How often is it not so? Oh, that men would get rid of all that dishonest gain because it is burning within their conscience, but it does not help him. He can throw it away, but his conscience is still burning within him. There is one relief, Judas. There is one relief. What is that? Judas, you need to be forgiven. Forgiven. Let us sing first. Psalter 97, 1 through 4. A little that the righteous hold is better far than wealth untold of many wicked men. Destroyed shall be their arm of pride, but they who in the Lord confide shall be upholding then. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 97. Our third thought, a serious warning from the case of Judas in his awful end. And congregation, what was that end? And went and hanged himself. Later, Peter writes, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It is suggested that Judas tried to hang himself on a tree that was near a precipice over that valley of Hinnom. Then there are places where that those trees still grow, and they say that those cliffs, they go up. They are in some places 25, 30, 40 feet high. And on the bottom of those cliffs, then it is covered with rocks. And apparently, and then Judas has tried to hang himself on one of such trees, and either the branch or that rope has broken, and Peter has fallen down to his death upon these rocks. What an awful, awful death. Suicide, congregation, he murdered himself. Instead of seeking forgiveness, he has only increased his guilt. And what happens to a soul when he murders himself? Then he goes lost. Peter says later that Judas, this man, he went unto his place. It is possible when a man makes an attempt at self-murder and he remains alive for some time, that he can still repent. But when he dies in his sin, then he goes lost forever. Oh, what an awful, awful thing despair is. Self-murder. Oh, are there any in our midst that have sometimes thoughts of self-murder? In depression, in despondency. Oh, if that is so, people, don't go by yourself. Don't seek solitude if you have such thoughts. They are not uncommon in our world. But seek the safety of being with others and tell someone what thoughts that you sometimes have. Someone that you love. Someone that you can trust. Someone that can keep their mouth closed and will not spread it on the streets of Ashkelon. But don't keep it all to yourself. And go in solitude, because that is for you very, very dangerous. And went and hanged himself. You say, but what about the repentance of Judas? All those positive marks. Congregation, it was no true repentance. It was brought about by the horrors of a guilty, guilty conscience. It was remorse for his deeds. Why? Because it brought about an end which he had never expected. And that can bring forth so much in our life that looks so good, that seems so positive, and that even gives us respect in the eyes of the true people of the Lord. But that repentance that did not flow out of love to God. Love to God he never knew. A desire to be reconciled with his Maker. No, Judas never knew this. Saving repentance leads us, congregation, to a holy life. But The repentance, a Judas repentance, leads us to the increase of our guilt. Saving repentance leads to a Savior. It leads to a Redeemer. A Judas repentance leads us to an awful end. Congregation, where is your repentance leading you? Or do you not have a repentance? Or can we not say that we can come in our life even so far as Judas came? By nature, we have no repentance. And we step so hard on our conscience that it is not even speaking to us anymore. But one day it will be opened. But when your conscience still speaks, where do you go? Rome says, go to the priest and ask him for forgiveness. He cannot forgive us. And we cannot forgive you. And you cannot forgive one another unless it is the person against whom you have sinned. When you have sinned against your neighbor, congregation, go to your neighbor. And there ask him, will you forgive me? And when we have sinned against God, then we need to go to him. And how can we go to him who cannot look upon sin? We can go to him only through his only begotten Son. Congregation, are there those that despair of the mercy of God? Oh, what is it that is laying upon your conscience that you say, I have sinned, young people? Maybe that you say, I have sinned against my mother, my father, grandmother, grandfather, or fathers and mothers, against a deceased parent. We cannot go to them anymore. Oh, they are gone. Or you say, I cannot cease from sin. It is laying in my heart and it only comes forth from moment unto moment. Oh, what is that portion that you feel so much that you deserve? Is that then to be cast away? Maybe you say, congregation, that you are worse than Judas. That it is hopeless. Is that so? We know that also in our life. May we say that? Knew that when we were 17, 18 years old. And when the Lord showed something, that we had our back to him. And that we served only ourselves. And that became our grief. And the impossibility to return. Oh, we remember traveling in our car to the church, weeping, my sin, my sin, my sin. And so impossible that the devil, he says, go home. And so young people, who is 17, 18, so we moved our car into the left lane. We thought the next row we turn around and never go back again. Never. It is impossible to be saved. And when we were about to turn, then the Lord showed us something. Just a little. Just a little. Of that cross. Of that mediatorial work. so that it became possible in that moment, not for my neighbor, but for me, possible that I still could be converted. That was the greatest wonder. Then I could go to church and I could come there and say, Lord, let me hear thy name. The devil is a liar. He is a liar when he says that you cannot be converted. The devil is a liar when he says that we have sinned too much for that grace of God. O my soul, why art thou grieving? And why disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Thy faith retrieving, let him still thy refuge be. O, are there those who despair? Are there those for whom sin has become such a heavy burden that they expect now that sin will sink you into that lowest pit? Or when you will seek it, congregation, anywhere else than at the foot of that cross of the Lord Jesus, you will not find it. Oh, go to him. Go to him. You say, I cannot go to him. We know that. We will tell you something else. Will you forgive us just this morning? It was years later. We came to live over here in Nobleford. And congregation, there was a time when that whole Bible that was nothing but curses. Every time that we opened the Bible, we could see nothing but the curses of God. Until I became so afraid to open this Word of God, lest the Lord would apply that curse unto my soul. And then I thought, it's too late. Later, there's a little cabinet in the wall there where the Bible would lay. And I feared to take that Bible in my hand, lest it was the end for me. And try to pray. Then I would come there upon my knees, and the heaven was brass, and it could go nowhere. And that was for some time, and every time my wife would go away, then I would fall upon that floor and there try to beseech the Lord. Lord, but one time, young people, I went out the door, looked to heaven. Oh, Lord, where art thou? And then once, my wife was gone again. And then I laid on the floor. And the Lord gave that I could come. I may come. And I may lay it all before him. And there was such an excess that a man cannot give unto himself. You cannot. And as I may speak unto him, Then the Lord came with those words so powerful. Him that cometh unto me. Oh, that was such a wonder to me. Because the Lord gave that I may come. And him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. O congregation, when have you ever heard the Lord Jesus speak like those Pharisees and the scribes to a distressed man? To say, what is that to us? See thou to that. The Lord does not. He does not. He gives that you may come. And he gives his blessing upon your coming. Oh, stay there at his feet. Where alone. There is mercy to be found. When you will go away from that place as Judas, then you will perish. You will perish forever. But oh, when you only may be brought. What did the Lord Jesus say to that woman who was a sinner? He said to her, woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. Is that a bad master, young people? Oh, thou afflicted. Tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy foundations with sapphires. Oh, is there not balm in Gilead? Is there not a physician there? There is mercy for the most wretched. There is grace for the greatest, most hell-worthy person. That is why he says, not we, no, but he says it. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that is the truth. Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, bring it in our hearts for the first time or by renewal. Oh, bring to thee those who are distressed, those who would despair because of sin. Give them to see thee, the blessed cross, what thou hast done for publicans and for sinners. Lord, forgive all our sins, also in speaking this day. Oh, when it was not right, Lord, take it away. And may thou bless thy word in the midst of this our flock. Oh, show thyself, Lord, and give the testimony that thou art working in the midst of us. Bring us safely home, and wilt thou give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Bring us with desire in thy house in this afternoon, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 112. 112 stanzas 2, 3, and 4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me, O Lord, thy joy, O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show, thy truth be still my stay. Oh, let them preserve me where I go, and keep me every day. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 112. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.